Amen. We're jumping straight into the sermon. Today, as I said, will be the final message from this series about spiritual warfare. Our text is one verse, Ephesians 6:18. The title of the message is The Warrior's Prayer. And just in case, there may be somebody here today, you're not convinced about the importance of prayer, maybe you should consider what the Lord Jesus is doing right now. The Bible says at this very moment, he is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. How does he do that? Now, if the Lord Jesus figures that it's important for him to pray, and he has been right there at the right hand of God in heaven interceding for us now for nearly 2,000 years since he ascended back into heaven, maybe we ought to ask ourselves, are we missing something here when it comes to prayer? Well, in answer to that question, we are going to move relatively quickly through 7 points regarding prayer, and we're going to see just how important prayer is in this spiritual war that we're fighting. The first point we want to consider is the persistence of the warrior's prayer. Ephesians 6:18, this is our key verse. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, if you look real closely, you will see that in this one verse, the words always or all appear 4 times. Check it out. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, he's talking about a comprehensive or complete view of prayer. This is not the only verse in the Bible like this. The Lord Jesus in Luke 18:1, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. A very familiar verse to most of you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, what's that say? Pray without ceasing. You know, years ago when I first started reading the Bible cover to cover, I'd run up on verses like this. Pray always. And I used to think, what exactly does that mean? I mean, does God expect us to just kind of walk around all day mumbling some long repetitive prayer? No, that's not what it means at all. When the Bible tells us to pray always, it means that we're in constant contact with God. We learn how to keep the line of communication open with him, and we live moment by moment in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Now, some of you young people ain't gonna have no idea what I'm talking about because you were born after most people got rid of landlines. Okay, but somebody else has said it like this. When you have God on the line, leave the receiver off the hook. Don't hang it up. You got to leave that off the hook so you can always have access to your Heavenly Father. And, you know, as we study the Bible and we read about the prayers of the early church in the New Testament, and even as we read about the prayers that Jesus prayed, we discover that prayer changes things, don't we? And then not only does prayer change things, prayer changes people. And usually the people that are changed most by prayer are the ones that are doing the most praying. Prayer has the power to change me, and it also has the power to change you. Second point we want to look at are the possibilities of the warrior's prayer. Go back to Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer. All prayer, what does that mean? Friends, it means, first of all, that we are to pray on all occasions. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning to come in here and pray. You can pray any day of the week. Pray on all occasions. Pray in the daytime. Pray in the evening. Pray before your meal or on any other occasion. How about this? Pray in all places. You can pray at home. You can pray while you're at the store. Pray while you're at work. And for some of you, that's when you really need to do some praying. We're also to pray during good times and bad times. Now, most of us, we got no problem praying when things are bad, or we want to go to God then. But how many of us offer up prayers when things are going good? How many of us offer up prayers when we're healthy, not just when we're sick? We ought to be praying whether we're happy or sad. Next, we ought to pray for all things. Now, that means just what it says, for all things. You can pray for personal things, for family things, for business things, for work things. All things should be covered by prayer. And when the Bible says that we're to always pray with all prayer, it means, look, in all kinds of prayer, in every situation, our whole life ought to be a prayer as we walk day by day with God. It ought to be possible for us at any moment to just breathe a quick prayer to God. You ever find yourself doing that? Lord, show me what to do. Lord, I'm not sure how to handle this particular situation. Help me to understand this thing that's going on in my life right now. Your prayer doesn't have to be super long. That's not what it's about. Look, think about the Apostle Peter. Remember, we read in the Gospels, Jesus came walking across the water, right, on the Sea of Galilee, and they got scared and thought he was a ghost. And Jesus said, it's not a ghost, it's me. And remember, the Apostle Peter said, Lord, if that's really you, then tell me to come out there to you on the water. And Jesus said, well, come on. And Peter got out, right, and he started actually walking. The Bible says he walked on the water. But then he got scared and he started to sink. Well, I'm sure he was happy. I'm sure Peter was happy that he was in good praying condition, because he didn't have time to give a real long prayer, did he? Only thing he had time to do when he started sinking was say, Lord, help me. And Jesus helped him. See, if we keep our relationship where it ought to be with the Lord, we keep our line of communication open with him, it's possible for us at any minute, to make contact with him. We're to always be in the spirit of prayer. So the possibilities of prayer are many. All occasions, all places, during good times and bad, and for all things. Let me ask you a question. Is there anything too small for you to pray to God about? Now, some of you might think there is, so let me rephrase the question like this. If one of your own children or one of your grandchildren came to you with a request, would you ever say to them, oh, don't bother me with that little stuff. That's not important enough for me to get involved. You would never tell them that. So if you, being a sinful person, are not going to tell your kid or your grandkid, that thing's too little for me to bother with, how much more is your Heavenly Father going to honor your request? Nothing too small for you to go to God with. Now, for some of you, it may be difficult to pray. You might feel like prayer is learning a foreign language. If that's true, how about this little prayer? Lord, help me to pray. You wouldn't be the first person to ever ask that. You know, the apostles came to Jesus and they didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us how to heal people. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. If prayer is not a natural thing for you, ask God to help you learn how to pray. You know, prayer is probably the last discipline that we as Christians ever really get our arms around. It ought to be the first. But I want you to think how much better our lives would really be if we could fully get our arms around this truth about prayer. That brings us to our next point, the petition of the warrior's prayer. Go back to verse 6:18 one more time. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. The word supplication, it simply means to ask. It means to ask God for what you need, and the Bible encourages us to do this. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Listen to what Jesus says. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the doors will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, James chapter 4, verse 2, it gives us the other side of this truth. That verse says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Now, over the course of my daily reading, I ran across this illustration I want to share with you today because it reminds me of the power of asking God to supply what we need. There was a couple who passed away. They were ushered into heaven. And as they were taken into this vestibule area, they saw all these huge file cabinets everywhere. And they were completely filled with files. So the man, he sees the Apostle Peter standing there. How come it's always Peter who's right there, right? When somebody gets to heaven. Every story or joke you hear about heaven, boy, is always Peter there. But anyway, he says to the Apostle Peter, hey, what's the deal with all of these file cabinets and these drawers all full of files? And Peter says, we got detailed files on everybody. We've even got them on you. And the guy says, really, what's in those files? And Peter says, these files contain all the things that God wanted to give you that you never asked for. Think about that for a minute. You know, quite often, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but it's worth repeating. Quite often, somebody approaches me here at church and they say, hey, will you pray about this for me? And I'm always willing to do that. I'm happy to pray for you. But sometimes, depending on the prayer request, I say to them, have you talked to God about this? And they look at me with kind of a blank stare. Now, the thought is this. I'm happy to pray for you. But as I told you a few weeks ago, you have the option to go straight to the top. Okay? You don't need to bother with the middleman. You can go straight to God with your request. The Bible says if we ask, he will hear. In the same way, though, if you don't ask, he's not going to hear. You got to ask him. Another thing to consider, God is almighty, all-powerful. He can do anything that he desires. And do you realize that the way he has hardwired this world is that everything works through prayer? And that's true whether you like that idea or not. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. And man, I don't know if there's ever been a time when there has been more needs in the world than there is right now. And that may be true for some of you in your personal lives. And I don't want to trivialize any of your needs, but let me ask you straight up. Have you talked to God about your needs? Now, somebody says, well, of course I have. Pastor, get serious. No, wait a minute now. I mean, seriously. Have you gone to God and got real specific and said, Father, these are the needs that I have. I bring them all before you. And I ask you in the name of Jesus to hear my prayer. Have you done that? Because when you go to God like that, you're not even there only in your own standing. You're there in the standing of Jesus. And when you make your needs known to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, man, he hears your prayers. The next point we want to consider is the power of the warrior's prayer. Back to Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What's the power of our prayer? It's the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit not only determines the character of your prayers, he also determines the content of your prayers. Question, how can I know what I should pray for according to the will of God? It's really not that difficult. The Holy Spirit who authored the Word of God is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside my heart and yours if you know Jesus. And as I submit myself to the leading of the Holy Spirit, he directs me to the things that God has already promised in his Word. And when I think about those things, I can be confident that God hears and answers those prayers. Somebody says, well, look, that's fine. But what about those times when something is so bad and so messed up and so mixed up that I don't even really know how to pray about it? It's just so bad. Don't worry. Bible's got you covered again. Let me give you your answer. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 7. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Here's what I can tell you. When you really pray, you enter a supernatural element. It's not really explainable. I don't even think it's teachable. It's something that is only experienceable, if I can use that word. It's something that you have to personally experience. And, you know, when you begin to pray and you ask God to give you some guidance and some direction as you pray, you discover a power in your prayers that maybe you've never discovered before. The next point we want to consider is the precision of the warrior's prayer. Ephesians 6:18, the verse goes on to say, being watchful to this end. Now, some Bible commentators, they say, well, that's Paul telling us to be watchful for the second coming of Jesus. And hey, look, the Bible tells us in many places that we are to watch for the second coming of Jesus. But that's not what Paul's talking about here. That's not what he means here. What Paul is saying is that when we begin to take our prayer lives seriously, we're going to have some decisions to make. If you're going to be a for real prayer warrior, the real deal, then you cannot allow anything in your life that makes you unfit to go to God in prayer. You can't have anything going on in your life that puts you outside of fellowship with God. You need to be engaging in those things that are going to feed and foster your prayer life and guarding against those things that would hinder it. Did you know that there are actually at least three that I know of places in the Bible where we are told to watch and pray? And if we will watch and pray, the Bible says we'll have victory in three areas of our life. First, if you watch and pray, friend, you'll be victorious over the world. Jesus says, speaking of his return in Mark 13:33, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Jesus is saying, hey, you don't know when I'm coming back, so keep watch and pray. Second, if you watch and pray, you'll be victorious over the flesh. Matthew 26:41, and the same exact verses in Mark 14:38. Jesus says, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And third, right here in this passage that we've been studying for the past several weeks, we're told that if we watch and pray, we'll be victorious over the devil. Now, is there anything you can think of? Anything you can think of that will help you to be victorious over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil, other than prayer? No. The Bible testifies that the only way to do this is through prayer. Brings us to our next point, the perseverance of the warrior's prayer. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit with all perseverance. The early church in the first century, they seem to get this. I question whether we get this or not. The society we live in today, there's very little in the way of perseverance. If we try something and we don't get instant immediate gratification from it, we just give up. People quit too easy. Look how they did things back in the first century. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Acts 6, chapter 4, the apostles are talking among themselves and they say, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. Romans 12, 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in what? Prayer. See, when it comes to praying, we need to hold on. We need to hold out. We need to make sure that we don't faint, that we don't quit, that we don't yield to discouragement, that we don't get distracted by the pressure of other things, that we don't ever give up, we don't ever quit. And one more thing about prayer, listen to me carefully. If it's been a while since you have prayed on a real regular basis, just start doing it again. See, the devil, he's got a couple things he'll try to do to hinder your prayer. If it's been a while since you prayed, man, just start doing it. But here's what the devil tried to convince you of. Let's say that you say, well, you know what? I'm going to pray every day. And man, the first 2 days you pray, you feel like you're really tuned in and you pray. Wow, man, my prayers really felt good today and it was good. Then day three comes. See, the devil will say, try to convince you into believing that every day will be great because you had a couple good days. Then the third day rolls around. Maybe it's not so good. Hey, I don't know if my prayers are getting past the ceiling today. The devil will come around and go, oh, see, you blew it. You might as well just give up. Or, ooh, you forgot to pray the last few days. You might as well just completely quit on your prayer life now. Ain't no point in even, that's absolutely ridiculous. Please don't forget that God is your Heavenly Father. He understands that we are made from the dust of the earth and that we're not perfected yet. God is not asking us, even as followers of Jesus, to live lives of total perfection while we're on this earth. Now, someday he's going to take us to heaven and we will be perfect then. In the meantime, God understands that we're all still under construction. That brings us to the final point we want to consider today, the purpose of the warrior's prayer. And this kind of bleeds over a little bit into verse 19. At the very end of Ephesians 6, 18, in the very first part of verse 19, here's what we read. And supplication for all the saints and for me. Friend, when you pray, the purpose of that praying is that you might pray for other people. Prayer is really supposed, your prayer should really be about, mainly about other people, not just about yourselves. But hey, man, in this culture we live in today, most people, if they do pray, they spend way more time praying about their own junk than they do praying for other people. Let me give you a wonderful verse that I hope encourages you to pray for other people. Job 42:10. After Job prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. See, the purpose of our prayers is to intercede for other people. Dr. David Jeremiah says it like this. When we pray for one another, everybody in the body of Christ is praying for everybody else in the body of Christ. So while I might not be praying for myself, I am praying for all of you. But I still don't need to worry because all of you are praying for me. See how that works? So our prayers should deal predominantly with the needs of others. Now, let me show you how blessings come when we let this attitude control our prayer lives, praying for other people. The late preacher and medical doctor, David Martin Lloyd Jones, he wrote in a book about this, and this is kind of a long quote, but here's what he said. Before the outbreak of the Spanish Civil War in places like Barcelona and Madrid and other big cities in Spain, there were numerous psychological clinics all over the country with very large numbers of people who had been labeled as neurotic, who were undergoing mind-altering drug treatments or were making regular visits for psychoanalysis and all kinds of other treatments. They had personal problems and worries and anxieties and temptations, and they had to go back to see these psychiatrists week after week, month after month, just to keep their lives moving. Then something happened. The Spanish Civil War broke out. And you know one of the most striking and almost immediate effects of that war breaking out, you know what it was? Virtually every single one of those psychiatric clinics emptied out. Because these neurotic people, they were suddenly cured by an even greater anxiety than they started out with. They had anxiety about their entire position in life. They wondered whether their homes would even be there tomorrow. They were concerned at whether their husbands or sons or brothers were going to get killed in battle. So Dr. Jones says that the greater anxieties got rid of the lesser ones. And having to give attention to the bigger problems, they forgot about their own personal and somewhat petty problems. He goes on to say this: a greater fear always drives out lesser fears. And I apply that whole principle to this question of prayer. You cannot forget yourself when you're feeling sorry for yourself and believing that everything's against you and that only you are having an unusually hard time. One of the best remedies for this is to sit down and say, what about this person and their needs? What about that person and their needs? What about Christians in other countries who are facing persecution? He says, get down on your knees and pray for them, and you will soon get up, finding that you have forgotten yourself. And you'll find that in praying for other people, you also solve your own problems. As we close today, let's confess to God. Let's tell him the truth. It's easy for us to get all wrapped up in ourselves, isn't it? Let us remember this. Here in the United States of America, friend, even our very worst day is a whole lot better than most people's very best day in other places all over the world. Now, I don't say that to make anybody feel guilty. It's just to simply say that sometimes if we don't get away from our own situation and begin to look at the bigger picture, we get burdened down with our own stuff. And there's only one cure for that: to get our eyes off of ourselves and intercede for others. Paul says, pray for all the saints and pray for me. And you know, when we do that, we begin to sense that God is using us even in the midst of our own problems, and that it's actually through the helping of others that we end up helping ourselves. Let me remind you real quick. Prayer is just an ongoing line of communication with God. But before you can pray about anything, there's one prayer that's got to come first. And that's the prayer that expresses faith in Jesus Christ. The prayer where you receive the gifts that he offers for free. The gifts of forgiveness, of salvation, and of eternal life. And if you've never prayed that prayer before, I encourage you to do that today. Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this passage in your word about prayer. We talk a lot about prayer in church, but Lord, most of us do not do nearly enough of it. The great apostle Paul talked about how he labored and wrestled in prayer. Father, I confess to you that many of us can't concentrate for 15 seconds before our mind is drifting all over the place. Or we think, well, when I lay down at night, I'll pray. 5 minutes later, we're asleep and don't even remember what we were praying about. Father, you have blessed us with so much here in America that, quite honestly, it has become a hindrance to our spiritual well-being. We have become so self-confident, so sure that we can provide everything we need, that we have largely turned away from you in this country. Father, I pray you would continue to be patient with us Withhold your judgment, Lord. Gently lead us back on the path where we need to be. I pray your blessing upon every man, woman, and child in this house of worship today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you all. Before we bow for the benediction, let me remind you, if you do have a special prayer request today, and it doesn't matter what it's about, we will have a couple of guys up here that will be very happy to pray with you or for you. Let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.